Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is The Wedlock. On this side of heaven, things don't always go well and they don't always go right. So let me, as gently as I can, kind of go into this to make sure there's no misunderstandings. I am not a hater. This has nothing to do with hatred. Sometimes I feel like I am the hated for simply believing something. Please do not abdicate your right not to be angry and a bigot and all those things. That's not the intent. But it is okay, and I don't hold it up a lot, it is okay to believe the book. Okay, and Jesus is all I got, and this is all he gave me to use. I got nothing else. So I really have nowhere else to turn but in these pages. And I can't explain everything in these pages. There's some things that God has done that I don't get, but I got nowhere else to go. And people say, well, you know, Christians hate gay people. A true Christian loves people. Regardless of what, and this is where it gets tricky, regardless of their sin. You say, whoa, you're calling something sin. You know what? I didn't write this stuff, as I've said before. I just work here. So I'm going to just simply read you some things from the book, and that's what I will have to answer for one day. Knowing the truth, believing the truth, speaking the truth in love, and then let God figure out the rest. Turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is really simple stuff. You would think that we would get the simple stuff. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, this is really simple stuff. It takes a man and a woman to be fruitful and multiply. A man and a man cannot be fruitful and multiply. A woman and a woman cannot be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. It's what it says. It's what happened. It's what's up. Now, you say, well, why didn't that work out? Because Adam and Eve, the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, the first that we get, screw up. Eve doesn't do what she's supposed to do. Adam doesn't do what he's supposed to do. We have sin, and then this chaos ensues, this fall, literally. And when man fell, we fell hard and hit our heads, hit our hearts. We hit everything you could hit, and it's not a good place. Now, there is redemption, there's hope, there's change. But again, you have to call sin, sin, to have a remedy for sin. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Again, kind of expounding on this. Verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Not exactly like him, but comparable. There's a difference. I'll make him a helper. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to the cattle, the birds of the air, the every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. It's there. It's simple. God did not make a man for a man. He made a woman for a man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Just keep going right. Keep going right. I'll give you a minute to find it because it's important to see this stuff. In the book of Daniel, and here in chapter 3, These are Jewish men who have been taken captive in Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. They started out with names Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. They were given new names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you went to church growing up, you learned this story. And so the king makes a decree, and if you read the whole thing, I'm not going to take time to read all this, but he made a decree that everyone had to bow down to this image that was created. And if you didn't, there were severe consequences. And these three guys simply said, we can't bow down. Now at this, before I even read you the story, let me throw something out here. First of all, you got to figure out, are you a Christian? Now, if you're not a Christian, you got bigger fish to fry. But if you're a Christian, then you have to decide and understand, what does that mean? If he is your savior, then implicit in that almost is that he has to be Lord. That means he is the boss. He controls your life. It's about serving him, trusting him, obeying him, following him, doing what he says to do, not what you want to do anymore, and trusting him. And when you get to a place and the world says, you have to do this, you have to say, well, I am a Christian. I am a follower of Christ. That doesn't work for me. And what if they say, well, we're going to kill you? Then you're going to have to kill me. You say, but what if it gets to that point and I'm afraid and I deny Christ? Peter denied Christ. Let's don't worry about getting to that point. You're not to that point, maybe. Decide what you're going to do before you get there, and you have an easier time knowing what to do when you're there. Now, if you're one of these angry, militant Christians just out there beating the drum, they're going to hell. You know what? If someone is going to hell, that should not bring you joy whatsoever. That should break your heart. That should break my heart. So even when you call sin out, it should be with a brokenness, and you should look at the person and say, look, I know you may disagree, and I'm just telling you what the book says and what I've discovered in my own life, but there's reason to repent. There's reason to call it what God calls it and ask for help, because without him, it's way worse than just some lifestyle. So Daniel, let's jump down to verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and worship the gold image which I've set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. You say, what do you mean by that? Either way, they're going to get delivered. It might be from the fire, or it might be in the fire, into the presence of God, but they're going to get delivered either way. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Is your God able to deliver you? See, if you don't believe that, then you cower, then you quake, then you quit, and you don't speak up. It's funny and not so funny how many ways there are for us to deny our Lord. You get in a conversation and someone says, hey, what do you think about this? So there are people posting all these posts and blogs and all this stuff. Big congratulations. Look, I get it. If two people have longed in a sinful relationship to be acknowledged by the society and that happens for them, I get how someone could congratulate them. I just have a hard time congratulating sin. I don't congratulate adulterers. I don't congratulate fornicators. And if you don't know what fornication is, pretty simple too. sleeping with somebody you're not married to. He said, but everybody's doing that. You know what? Who cares if everybody's doing it? It still is what it is. Keep reading. Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury and the expression on his face, changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke the command that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and a fire, by the way, which had killed the people that threw them in. I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So what does that have to do with you? I am never by myself. And as a Christian, it is not that the Son of God is with me, it is that he is in me. You can't put me on a planet somewhere and I be by myself. I can never be alone again. He is not just with me, he is in me. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Now all of a sudden he gets it. Come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire, and the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Nothing of the fire affected them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word. You know what we're supposed to be about? Frustrating the king's word. Is your life frustrating the king's word? No matter what they say, no matter what they put on us or put out there, we show by the way we live, the Lord that we let live in and through us, that there is a better way. And yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Willing to yield your body? A living sacrifice? Well, I don't want to die. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. The same king who said you're going to bow said no one speaks against this God. So a king can change his mind. Even a court can change their mind. But it's going to take some people of a nation to change their mind first. And to change your mind, you got to change your heart. And only he can bring about the kind of change needed. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Go to Matthew chapter 24, New Testament. Matthew 24, let's jump in at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, please get this in your head and in your heart. If you are a Christian, you are not going to be popular, even if you're the best Christian, the kindest Christian, the most loving Christian. The world is going to hate you. You have to get your head around this. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And listen to this verse. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. If you're a Christian, I don't doubt your salvation. But boy, it can sure cool off in the kingdom where we don't love him like we used to love him. Where we won't die for him, where we won't live for him, where we won't even let him do an inspection in our own lives to see if everything's okay just between us and him. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Why do we push so hard? Why is it take the planet? Why is it going to all the earth? Why do we spend so much money, so much time, so much effort sending people? Because the sooner everybody hears, the sooner we all get to go home. And I don't have a death wish, but I do have a heaven wish. I got a Jesus wish. I'd like to see him, because the older I get, the longer I'm here, the more this place wears me out. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And these things are somewhat obvious, but this is not the only place this stuff is mentioned in the scripture, but I'll read it just so it's documented and you see it's here. 1 Corinthians 6, let's jump in at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. So if someone tells you you can just live like hell and make heaven, don't be deceived. It is not possible. And please don't mistake this. You say, well, but I'm a Christian, and there are times where it looks like I still live like hell. That is possible. But I'm talking about someone not a believer, just living an ungodly, unrighteous life. And you say, well, what does even that mean? Do not be deceived. And here's the list. This is in this passage. Neither fornicators, people who sleep with someone they're not married to, nor idolaters, people who worship anything but God, nor adulterers, people who sleep with someone they're not married to, someone else's spouse, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible doesn't single out one group. It's an equal opportunity identifier. You say, well, why do you people chase just that? We don't chase just that. But it seems like you're after nice gay people. I'm after nice drunks too. I'm after nice adulterers too. I'm after nice fornicators. I'm after nice thieves. Let's legalize stealing. That's what we need to do. I feel bad for all my friends that are thieves. Right? It's terrible. They can't help it. They just love stealing. They're not hurting anybody. They're just taking stuff. So let's pass a law that makes that okay. You say, dude, you're crazy. And I say, you're crazy. Pick a sin, make it legal, and it's all okay. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Because if you're deceived on one of these, there's a good chance you're being deceived on yours. Because if it's okay for them because they're nice people, it's really going to be okay for me. And in reality, we're all nice people. So all dogs and nice people go to heaven and it's all going to be okay. It's not true. Now look at the rest of this little passage, 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you. That's a fact. We've got a room full of this list. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the only way it changes. I expect nothing from a person who is a non-believer. If I find out someone's not a Christian, whether it's anything in this list or beyond this list, they got issues, I get it. And we can legalize whatever we want to legalize. All I'm saying is, if you want to change something, Jesus is the only answer for change. Amen. The blood of Jesus is the only thing going to change you and wash you clean. And if you're interested in that, I got an answer for that. I got a key to that lock. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Just keep going to the right. This is Paul writing to this young kid, Timothy. He says, therefore, I exhort first of all, the first thing I want to exhort you on, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So what is one of our primary responsibilities? To pray for those in authority. Stop wagging your finger and complaining about the leadership in a country that you don't pray for. Well, this person and that person, they did that. How much time do we spend praying for those in authority? Presidents, kings, whatever it is, those in authority. Well, I don't like that guy. I don't like his policies. The Bible doesn't ask you whether you like him. Pray for him. God changed Nebuchadnezzar's heart and mind. Why couldn't he change a president's mind? He's not limited. He can write stuff on a wall with his own finger. So pray. Start from your insides out and start from someone else's insides out and ask God to change. Easy to be angry and judge and point fingers. Pray. Go to Matthew chapter 27, last passage. I would like to cite one more case out of Matthew 27. Jews versus Jesus. Verse 1. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not a word, so the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, so here is this trial, and it gets down to a feast decision, but this guy has the authority to decide who gets released and who gets condemned. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, sends a message to Pilate and says, "Have nothing to do with that just man." Even Pilate's wife knows this guy is innocent. "For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And he calls him a just person. And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." What a catastrophic statement. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. That trial didn't go very well, and the real Supreme Court let it happen. For whose sake? For mine.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
The only innocent man who ever lived died in my place. And all he asks is that I let him live in me and through me and take a stand when he decides to take a stand, not to condemn people, not to judge people, but to speak the truth in love. And whether it's the wedlock, Jesus is the key to that wedlock, by the way, and any other lock you need a key to, he is the key. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. And you will never get to God but by him. You say, "Well, but I can't do this." Why don't you ask him what you can and can't do and let him give you the wisdom to communicate truth and love and take a stand, a strong, gentle stand. And if you suffer persecution, welcome. They hated him. They're going to hate his followers. I'm not trying to get people to hate me. It's just how it works. Now, I know there's a good chance that there are some of you I may never see again because you say, "I'm out." And that is heartbreaking. Because my desire and my intent is not even to offend you, but to try to help us be the people he called us to be and not be afraid and reach out to those people, because sin never works. It never works out. Adultery usually does not work out very good for the parties and the children affected by it when there's children. I've spent enough time with couples that fornication, sex outside of marriage, doesn't work out too good in the long run. homosexuality, sodomites, whatever the list, drunkards. We got everybody. We're all in this room right now. The whole list of such some of you were.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.